funds to, other than just looking through the proof, there's no way we could allocate them.
We'll bring the meeting, House Resources Committee to order, got a quorum, we're taking up a sponsor substitute for House Bill 31. Prime sponsor, Representative Moss is here, and maybe you can explain the second sponsor substitute, if you would, please.
Well, Mr. Chairman, record on Detective Moss. The substitute was put in because one of the main reasons originally it came out talking about a critical habitat. Kind of like an old bull with a red flag every time I see the word critical habitat. It disturbed me.
I have your boot prints on my back, Representative Moss.
Touche.
Well, it took them a long time to sit down, so that's all right.
So I come with you very humbly this afternoon. As I testified last week on this, this bill has to do with, you might call it a tool, in conjunction with the Agricultural Development Program, which the Delta area has a lot of money that's going to be tied up in, and we're going to have a lot of money tied up in food and grains and so forth in the Delta agricultural area. And the main purpose of this bill is to act as a tool to divert the bison and hold them out of the agricultural areas until the farmers can get their crops up. And that's, we're talking about 2 to as much as 6 weeks holding those bison out of the farming areas. And that's basically the main purpose of the bill. And I might mention one other thing. I talked to Bob Larson yesterday from the Delta Fish and Game biologist, and Mr. Larson told me that he was dealing with the military on Fort Greeley, and I might point out the area that we're talking about. We're talking about a lake area right in here, because the bison normally travels here and here and come up through this lake deal. There is a possibility that we will have help from the military in seeding on the military reservation itself, which will help us out some.
Could you show me where Delta in relation to the highway is so I can orient myself?
Okay, now the junction is up here. This is the farm district over here. What we want to do is to pull these bison in through here and head them in this direction here and hold them by a series of plantings and trails and...
Where's the highway run?
The highway runs right along this line right here. This is the highway right here.
Okay.
This is the highway here. Okay. And the basic purpose is to hold those bison on the southwest side of the highway long enough for us to get our crops up. And as I said a moment ago, we have been in touch with the military people, and I think they will go with us on a seeding and trail making program to catch those guys and capture them and head them down the way. And as I said once before, one of the reasons I thought this would be a good project is because last year, for the first time in about 8 or 10 years, we've got bison down in the Big Delta area, which is about 10 or 12 miles from where they've normally been in the winter. And the main reason they did it is because they followed the pipeline right down to the Big Delta area. And the feed was there for them. And if you know, the buffalo is a grazing animal. And that's one of the reasons for the buffalo in the Delta area. Now, if we don't have this protection, you might say, for the farmers and the bison, we've got to do one of two other things. Set up an appropriation to pay the farmers for the damage. Now, let's face it, some of these farmers are going to have inflated ideas about how much their product is worth out in the field out there. that's gonna be a ball of snakes. And the second thing, the third thing rather, would be to remove the bison from the area. But if you remove the bison from the area, you're removing an identity that this community has had for some 51 years, since 1928. And it is a tourist attraction. It's something that we all love down there. But I don't want to see people just arbitrarily shooting and scattering them to the wind. Of course, there's another little thing here. I read an article the other day that said that a lot of people start to burn firewood, and that means we're going to have to start using buffalo chips for firewood one of these days, so we better hang on to our buffalo.
Thank you, Representative Bronson. Are there questions for Mr. Bronson? Mr. Charity?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I only have one question to Representative Moss, and that is, if a few squiggly fish are a threat to barley, how do you rationalize, if you would please tell me, that a whole herd of bounding bison are not a threat? Shouldn't they be removed far away from here then?
No, let's don't remove them. Let's just feed them a little bit to keep them at home there. And
but
you
we won't
you know,
feed
you're
a
not
fish.
Gonna come to my house if I don't have a pretty good chicken dinner and somebody else has got a big turkey dinner over there. You're gonna go eat where the food's the best, right?
Well, thinking of the barley people, and that's where my heart's coming from in this discussion, is I think that you're locating these beasts too close to the barley growers. Yeah, I think it's a threat. I think we should move those to the Aleutians.
Representative Chatterton, you would not remove our identity, would you? Because here, quite a number of years ago, we used to be known as Buffalo Center there, and we can't look back in the history books and call us Buffalo Center anymore.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Happy, what's the difference between first sponsor substitute and second sponsor substitute?
Habitat. Basically, I think it was habitat there, Mr. Chairman. Let me look and see. I didn't.
It's habitat. Oh, my.
New words, habitat, sir. I'm sorry. I don't really know offhand exactly what it was. I think it has to do more with the meets and bounds of, we had some changes that we had to make in the meets and bounds due to some land that we had changed. I can't tell you exactly which meets and bounds it is, but there was some change in the configuration of the unallocated or unappropriated lands. That there were some home sites, for example, and some small areas on the southwest side of the road there that when we drew it up originally, we included those within the boundaries that we have of the bison range itself. And the basic change is in land descriptions. We did put all of them in.
The original bill had the description taken from the Delta Land Management Plan, and then Division of Lands Office in Fairbanks said that some mistakes have been made in that description. They sent the revised description down, which is in the second sponsor substitute. That's why that was changed.
I see.
Yeah. Are you, I have one final question. Are you prepared to carry this bill on the floor?
Yes, sir.
This is freshman hazing.
Yeah.
Mr. Halpern.
Sure. Let the chips fall, would you?
Mr. Halpern.
It looks like a lot of the differences in lines 15, 16, and 17 in the second sponsor substitute, where it does the following described areas, excluding valid existing rights, in the first sponsor substitute, I don't think said that. It's the one I've gotten from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a basic difference. It had to do with the description of the land itself.
Do you have other questions? Mr. Halpern.
Are you satisfied? There was some concern in the first discussion about possible agricultural areas on the south side of the highway. Are you satisfied with this description and the way it goes now?
At the moment, I am satisfied with it, and I don't see, based on the way we've got this written up, that we would have any problem changing at a later date if we see that there is a need for agricultural land on the south side. We're already going to see you shaking your head. Where are you coming from?
It's changing now. Make it right, huh? You can finish the question.
I was wondering, you know, how hard do you think it would be to move them?
The bison?
Right.
I'm opposed to moving the bison because...
No, I mean, see, they're migratory animals, so getting them to migrate out. See, it's springtime, there's a lot of feed there. And I was up around that country, you know, and they aren't too sharp. I can see why they got slaughtered.
Pat, you told us about this.
Yeah, I think that you could get them migrate. I was just wondering how you were going to move them yourself. I mean, whether you're...
The purpose of this is to get them to naturally migrate further down towards the Johnson River and the Gerstle River area to hold them for a longer period of time. Now, we have no objection to the bison being in the agricultural area during the winter after the crops are up.
Right.
Back to the business, they're an asset to the community because they give us a little hardwood and a little fertilizer in that area. We have no objection to that.
Yeah, I think, well, it seems to me that you can train them for me for there and be smart for migratory. And there's a lot of feed there at the time. I agree with you.
But feed, I think, is a basic thing, and I've got to say that these buffalo have got a mind of their own sometimes, and it's going to take a period of time for us to get this operation going the way it should be.
Mr. Fuller.
I move with it. Pass this bill. I want to see if there's other people who want to testify first. Are there any other questions for Mr. Moss? Thank you, Pat.
Yeah. Just very briefly, I'm Pat Thomas, Department of Natural Resources. I hope that you have this in your folders. It is a new, revised legal description. The difference is it excludes a 1,300-foot right-of-way off the center line of the highway running down the length of the field.
Show us, Pat, please.
Running from here to here, there's an exclusion of a right-of-way. This is in case when a gas line goes through, you won't have to go through the procedures of taking land out of a bison range. There will already be a right-of-way there utilized for that purpose.
How wide is it right on?
1,320 feet
quarter mile
from the center line. The second change from the description you have is right in this area here. And instead of going to these adequate park situations, you changed it to say the bank of the river. That way when you're out there, look, you can see where the boundary of the range is. You don't have to estimate that it's on this side of the river at this point, and it might be over there at this other time. And that's how it is drafted in the committee subcommittee or the bill you have in front of you.
What is the white streak that runs across that side area?
What's it for?
The white streak?
Yeah,
you mean this right here?
Right, yeah, but
it's a non-vegetated area.
Swamp?
Sand, probably. It's probably sand. There's a lot of sand in that area, isn't there? I've been up in there, I think.
Did this boundary originally go further to the right, or is this what they were to get?
Originally, they went beyond the little village of Gerstle River. What we're proposing is to change them and make them just flat along the Gerstle, east bank of the Gerstle River.
Mr. Chatterton.
Mr. Conady, the Crystal River appears from casual observation not to be a favorite stream. Do you think that the bank is something that is a real permanent?
Probably not a great real permanency, but you'll always be able to tell where the boundary is, and the alterations that it will make will not be significant in a meandering stream.
It's called radial. It's going to be a changing boundary.
It probably will be a flexible boundary to some degree.
And you prefer to have that when something is cast in concrete?
We would prefer to have that because one could always tell from being out there exactly where the boundary was.
Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Other than that, you have no problem with the bill?
No problem with the bill. Thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Conhead?
Yeah, I guess maybe for you, Mr. Chairman. Is he proposing an amendment to the existing bill?
I believe that would be what I would review, which would be this legal description in front of you.
And Mr. Conhead, he would replace the description currently in the second sponsor substitute, correct? In total?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you discussed these changes with the sponsor?
I have discussed them with the sponsor. Okay.
Oftentimes we come up with a technical problem. I'd like to have our attorneys take a look at these. I think, Mr. Fuller, your motion would be in order now, but I would ask that you have this bill, if we do pass it out, held in rules while our land folks check out the legals. It's certainly not to delay it, but as we all know from the floor this morning, these lands bills sometimes attract a lot of attention, and we'd like to have everything absolutely in line.
Before we act on Mr. Representative Fuller's motion, I'd like to speak to the potential of this proposed amendment, which we haven't adopted yet. It seems to me that we're taking a quarter of a mile away from the center line of the highway, that we're very deep, that would be detracting from the tourist attraction, because bison can't get any closer than a quarter of a mile to the center line of the highway. I'm not sure that I would support that at all.
Mr. Conhady.
After that comment, I don't need to come.
Mr. Halpern?
It might be interesting to look at the reason for this. If we put a gas line in there, we'll be putting in another very nice green area directly across the road from all the barley fields to get the buffalo right in proximity to cross the road and have some barley.
Mr. Carney, did you have a comment?
I just want to say that I didn't see the negative plan to build a fence a quarter mile on the highway. I'm sure the buffalo go there whether it's treated or not.
Are there any other comments on this legislation? Mr. Fuller.
I make the motion that we pass this bill out of committee with the amendments and resources.
Okay, the motion is to move the second sponsor substitute as amended with the new legal descriptions. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, the bill's moved out. We will hold this bill and the companion appropriation bill, should that move out, in rules pending a final okay of the legals. The next bill we have up before us is House Bill 119. Representative Moss?
Steve.
Chairman, House Bill 119 is more or less a companion bill to the sponsor substitute bill for 33. And basically what it amounts to is that we need some money to start in before breakup time. We'd like to get some of this seeding and some preparation work done this spring before breakup. And the reason for trying to get this money now is because as spring comes along and things thaw out, you start getting muddy quagmire, and we'd like to get some of this done now in preparation to hold them off of the barley fields that are in use at present. They've already produced barley, and it's a supplemental appropriation to take care of the funding for that.
Questions of Representative Moss? Anybody else who'd like to testify on the appropriation?
One other thing, Mr. Chairman. Section 3 says this act takes effect July 1, 1979. I would ask you to make that, make sure that is an immediate deal rather than July 1, 1979, because the funding, if we didn't get the money until July 1, 1979, it would defeat our purpose in trying to get some work done before breakup.
Thank you, Representative Moss. Are other people wishing to testify on
that? We're having counsel check out the specific language on an immediate effective date. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we add an immediate effective date on line 16. Is there a discussion on that motion? Objection? Okay, that's adopted. It will be that standard boilerplate language. Is there a motion on the bill?
I would move the motion, move the bill out as amended, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the motion? Any objection? That's out. Next bill we'll be taking up is House Bill 33. Is there someone here to speak for Mrs. Branson? Is here herself.
Nobody speaks for Mrs. Branson.
Mr. Chairman, committee, I'm Margaret Branson, representative for District 5. The purpose of this bill is to convey small home site parcels of land which have been under lease to people for a good many years at a very nominal cost to the permit holder. Some of these cabin sites and recreational sites are in the Ketchikan area, Point Baker, which is Representative Gardner's district, and most of them are in the Chugach National Forest, which sits in my district. One of the primary purposes of trying to approach the bill from this angle is that for many years the permit, the section has been on the books at the fair market value. Many acres of this land was tentatively approved to the state back before the Native Land Claims Settlement Act, and of course, as you know, the fair market values have increased dramatically in that era. People don't mind paying for their cabin sites. They don't really want them free, but they feel that having to sit there for 10 or 15 years while the value appreciated dramatically is sort of a disadvantage. They would also like to be able to buy the land without having to use their discount. State discount.
State discount, I'm not familiar with that question.
Well, under the several of the programs, you can buy land from the state on at either appraised price or open entry, and you can use it. Yeah. We're primarily interested in people getting their residential permits transferred under this program. The amendment or the substitute defines the expenses and is prorated out so that it doesn't cost the state anything. The initial cost is recovered.
Are there questions from the committee? Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, because the one of the sponsors of this bill encouraged me, I guess, to ask this question, so it might lead to an amendment. Representative Branson, do we know offhand what kind of all the various types of Forest Service permits that are granted? I mean, or are you thinking basically of the residential type, recreational site type?
As I understand from there, Mr. Chatterton, from the printout that the Forest Service had the other day, which I can't seem to find, there are about 236 residential permits. They have somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 different other kinds of permits, commercial road right-of-ways, logging permits, gravel extraction, all sorts of permits. And we are, Mr. Gardner and I are primarily interested in the residential section.
236 types of residential permits?
No, 236 residential permits. Mm-hmm. Most of those lay in my district.
Mr. Chairman, I can't.
Mr. Chairman.
Then Representative Branson, as far as you know, not only yourself, but the prime sponsor is interested basically in trying to, I guess, delineate or more closely define the type of Forest Service permit that you really have the intent for this bill to cover.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Talbert?
Thank you. Does the fiscal note cover the differential in price? Is that what the fiscal note cost?
Yeah, the fiscal note is the state's estimate, and I think Mr. Conhaney can answer that better than I. But in other words, it's really no cost to the state because the cost will be prorated back for whatever cost to convey the land.
The actual operating cost, there is no cost. The only cost to the state then is a loss in revenue from sale of land.
No, it would be the surveying and the, and I think there's a certain amount of overhead for the cost of surveying and resurveying the parcel if it's performed by the department. The expenses of the department necessary to sell the parcel.
I can go ahead and ask that.
Yeah. And it comes to, I think, a rough estimate of somewhere around $2,000 or $3,000 a parcel, which is not outrageous price.
Okay, there are cabins on all these existing sites, these 236
yes.
sites,
mm-hmm.
and they're not surveyed. They're.
I would.
It's a
the Forest Service note has surveyed them. The BLM is going to survey them before they transfer them to the state. And the state, I don't know what the state's going to do.
Why would we have to pay for another state survey? Forest Services surveyed them and they're on BLM land and they're going to survey.
You're asking me?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't have any idea. I would suggest that you ask Smith, Ted or Mike. I mean, I don't know that. The only thing I'm interested in is the people get the land and that they have a clear and free title to the land, however it has to be done legally. I mean, and I assume that the state is surveying the land so that, you know, that they can offer a free and clear title.
It's all BLM land that the 236 sites
are? Well, no, not yet. Some of it has been tentatively approved to the state, and it's in BLM hands. And as I understand it, the BLM surveys the land before it's conveyed to the state. Whether they survey the parcels or not, I don't know, or whether they just survey the outside parameters. This is basically This is basically land that was selected under the community grant land selection, which allowed communities in the national forest to select a certain amount of land. We went over all of these selections last year and they were approved by the Forest Service. However, they have not all been tentatively approved to the state.
Who has to make that approval?
The Forest Service. Then the BLM transfers. Once it's tentatively approved to the state, it is in the custody of the state, but the BLM has title. Then the BLM...
Does anybody else follow this?
No, because I got a big problem.
All right, who owns the land now? Who's got the land now?
Let's the federal, the Forest Service.
Okay, that's the Department of Agriculture.
The U.S. Forest Service.
That's the Department of Agriculture.
Representative Branson, do you mind if Pat Conhead joins you up to the table?
Okay.
Can we start with who owns the land now?
Federal government. Who administers the land now?
The U.S. Forest Service is still administering the land. Before the state can file a formal selection application on this land, we have to get an approval by the Forest Service, which accompanies formal application then to BLM for the selection. Now at that point, BLM takes over. It's still Forest Service land, but BLM does the administration of the state selection application. At the time...
Do you want to carry this one on the floor?
You'll grant us the privilege of the floor. We've been working for 3 years.
Can you go step 1, 2, 3, 4 so we really, I don't understand it, and I don't know if anybody, if the other committee members are following it. But step one.
Could you identify yourself?
My name is Andy Petkovich, and I work with Southeast Eastern District Division of Land.
I'll let you sit down. It might take a while.
The first step in the selection process is for the state to ask the Forest Service for a parcel of land after a series of public hearings.
Could I stop right there now? Is this land indicated by any legal
description? This last year in 1977 was done by Elephant Park description.
So it is surveyed by Elephant Park?
No, it's just described by the tract at Elephant Park. Contracted means if you have an Aliquot part is first of all a section line description where you talk about section, township, and range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the parcel is already surveyed, we use that description. If it is not, The state has a grid of protracted sections throughout the state. And just like the native land claims, it's done by the northeast part of the northwest part of Section 5 township range and so on. That is an unsurveyed, no, it's done on a protracted. It says this is where it is on our map. It may not be that place on the ground when it's finally surveyed.
Okay, so the first step is the state asks the Forest Service for this unsurveyed parcel of land.
Right.
Okay. Are we all together?
So far, two steps.
Number two.
Okay. Number two is the approval of the regional forester, U.S. Forest Service, of the state's application to them to consider this piece of land.
Does that mean that the Forest Service says yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
If they say yes, we take that yes and accompany it with a formal application for selection to the Bureau of Land Management. Okay. The Bureau of Land Management will not consider...
Okay, slow down. Slow down.
Couldn't explain how the Bureau of Land Management got it. They haven't got it yet. Yeah, if you want to enforce it, the Bureau of Land Management probably explained.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bureau of Land Management is essentially the counterpart to the federal government that the Division of Lands is to the state.
So it's their agent. The BLM acts as the agent for the feds in the
That's
transaction.
Right.
Margaret, this is your bill.
I understand all this.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the state takes that permission from the Forest Service to the BLM and
applies. And applies for a formal selection application for the land.
Okay.
Now, it's my understanding that at that point, we can take BLM's version, the land is segregated by BLM upon their acceptance of our application, the states, from other types of entities.
That's where I think I got lost. Okay, the states now before BLM and with the application. And what does BLM do?
They segregate the land from other forms of entry.
Is that a, are they classifying the land?
They're putting it into a reserve use.
For this particular purpose?
For the purpose because it has...